It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Carnegie Museum of Art has announced the results of two recent investigations of old master paintings in its collection. The discovery of an original 16th century portrait of Isabella de' Medici hidden beneath Victorian-era overpainting, and the findings of a technical analysis of a portrait of Sir George Neville, Lord Bergavenny, historically attributed to Hans Holbein the Younger. Both paintings were examined for display in Faked, Forgotten, Found, five Renaissance paintings investigated, a new exhibition which details the careful analysis, conservation, and outstanding questions surrounding selected works in the museum's collection. Joining me now to discuss this exhibit is Lulu Lippincott, the Institute's curator of fine arts. Lulu Lippincott, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
What inspired this exhibition, Faked, Forgotten, Found?
Well, our basement, we store art in our basement. It was getting very, very, very full. And I had the job of starting to clean it out. And like anyone cleaning out a basement, you sort of pull things out of racks and look at them and say, do I need to keep this? Is this important? Let's think about it. And in the process of pulling some of these paintings off racks and really looking at them again carefully, we realized that, in fact, not only were they not as bad as we had initially thought, they were a heck of a lot better. And the decision ended up being to take care of them, study them, and eventually keep them and put them on display.
How much of this faked and forged art is out there?
It's like crime, you know, the really good criminals get away with it. So the answer is we don't know. We hope not much. It's a constant temptation to make a lot of money by making and selling fakes. But there are also a lot of artists who learn by copying, and their intentions are honest. It's their subsequent owners of the works of art who start to mislabel them and make some money. There's a lot out there. But we often don't know why or how it originated.
Is there an equation here that for every maybe one or two found, there are 10 others that might possibly be out there?
I don't
know. Is that a safe guess? That's probably just
– I really don't know.
Well, reportedly, some seven decades after the fall of the Third Reich, other stolen works of art, some from owners who perished in the Holocaust, their work was found in museums in Europe and America. What can you tell us about this?
Well, this is a huge problem in the art world. During the Nazi era, because so many of the Nazi leaders were actually collecting art either for their personal collections or for their state museums, we think literally millions of works of art moved around Europe.
During the war. Millions.
And immediately after the war. And there was not only extensive looting by the German troops and the Nazi leadership done under sort of official auspices, but the armies that came in afterward from allies also took art home. And as these objects were uprooted and displaced, their histories were lost, their connections to the original owners were lost. They disappeared for decades, re-entered the art trade, and there's now a concerted international effort to identify the pre-war owners of these works of art and to make restitution wherever possible.
Now, in the particular case of this exhibition at the Carnegie Museum of Art, there's some interesting stories here. And let's start with the case of the original 16th century portrait of Isabella de' Medici. You have her original portrait, which was painted over in the Victorian era. And it's almost hilarious to look at the two images side by side, which, by the way, we will have up on our website at WESA.FM. We'll have a link so people can go and look at what we're talking about. Which, not to discourage you from going to the museum and seeing it with your own naked eyes, but this particular portrait of the same person, it is subtly or not so subtly revised. And so for like hundreds of years, people had a vision of this woman that was not really what she looked like. What would motivate somebody to do that?
It's the same reason people have facelifts today, especially with portraits. Standards of personal beauty change over time and over history. And the ideal Renaissance woman was a very assertive, robust personality, and her physical appearance and standards of beauty reflect that. For example, it was very fashionable to pluck your forehead so that you would have a high hairline and a high brow, and this would make you appear intellectual. Queen Elizabeth I, for example, did this to make you look more smart. As you know, intelligence is not always considered a sign of female beauty. So with our picture, at least, in the 19th century, when women were playing a much less assertive role in society, the restorer actually changed Isabella's hairline to make it lower, to make her daintier and less sort of intellectually intimidating.
And so so you have this – for hundreds of years, people had the wrong idea of what de' Medici looked like.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was further complicated by the fact that for many years the portrait was identified as her mother, who was a great beauty of the Renaissance, and her daughter Isabella was not quite as attractive. So not only did she get a makeover in the 19th century, she also got renamed as her more famous and beautiful mother.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Lulu Lippincott, curator of fine arts at the Carnegie Museum of Art. What can you tell us about some of the other of the five Renaissance paintings in this exhibit?
All of them originated between 1495 and 1580. So all of them are 400 to 500 years old, something that people forget. Each one of them has a very different life story from the moment it originated in artist's studio to the moment it made it onto the walls of our gallery. So we have some paintings that were created as important originals, faked and tricked up later, like our portrait of Isabella, and then the true identity of the sitter and her appearance are revealed. In other cases, we have a picture that was deliberately copied and so that the fake could be retained and the original sold illegally in the 19th century. So that was a sort of a case of art smuggling. We have a picture that went through the Holocaust and where we are now attempting to determine its original pre-war ownership and make the correct restitution. And we also have a very interesting portrait that we are still trying to figure out whether it is a 20th century fake or an original Holbein.
And that brings up a very important question, which is going back to Isabella de' Medici, for example. You've got this painting. You have no idea that there's something underneath that. So what is the clue? What tipped you off that, wait a minute, if we wipe this away, we're going to find something else?
It was a long process that involved going over every square inch of the picture, often with a microscope. But the thing that really finally convinced us about what we had was X-rays. You can actually look through the paint layers with an X-ray and see the underlying paint surfaces. And so our art restorer, Ellen Baxter, when we were wondering what was going on with this picture, she actually loaded it into her car, drove it down to the Monroeville Imaging Center.
But you're sitting there going, well, let's not make sure we don't get into an accident here.
Yeah, we did. Well, it was not a very valuable painting at that point, so we weren't too concerned about it. And she sat in line holding Isabella de' Medici with people with broken arms and broken legs. The X-ray technician had never seen anything like this before. But the minute we put that picture in front of the X-ray machine, Ellen and Amanda Zender, who were with her, saw immediately there was a different face underneath the painted surface, and there were different hands, and she was holding an object that was invisible on the painted surface. And at that point, we knew very clearly that underneath the paint layer that we could see was another older paint layer with a different face, different hands holding this mysterious object. And And then Ellen took a swab and some chemicals and very carefully started to clean off some of the paint to see what was underneath. And what was underneath was beautifully preserved.
Incredible. What a story. What kind of response have you gotten to this?
People are fascinated. There's a certain similarity to crime shows. And so people understand and get involved in the sort of the process of solving these mysteries using different kinds of forensic analysis. And of course, it's a bit of a treasure hunt as well. We take a picture that's been ignored and discarded and with careful study prove its worth. So there's a little bit of antique roadshow as well. And then, once you know the life story of a picture, it becomes a friend. You know its life story, you get deeply involved with it, and suddenly you care about it. So it's been very successful for the museum.
Faked, Forgotten, Found, 5 Renaissance Paintings Investigated is the exhibition at the Carnegie Museum of Art. It continues until when, Lulu?
September 15th.
Okay, so you've got about a month and a half to get there. We'll have a link to the images we've been discussing on our website at WESA.FM. In the meantime, Lulu Lippincott, who is the institution's curator of fine arts, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.